Welcome to the Leamington United Mennonite Church Sunday Morning Message Podcast. For more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca.
It is accepted by everyone that water plays an extremely important part of our lives. By far, the biggest part of each of us consists of water. When babies are born, they consist of about 78% water. As they grow into adults, this goes down, but on average, depending on many factors, we are still made up of 50 to 75% water, and we are well aware that it needs to continue flowing through us to sustain life. Flowing water. Often we think of it in the form of streams and rivers. These flowing bodies of water help to provide sources of life for all living things, so it's not unusual that they have become vital parts of our worship. Our Bible mentions rivers often. Beginning already in Genesis chapter 2, we read that the river flowing out of Eden to water the garden splits into four branches, the Pishon, the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates, which then water the whole land of that time. Later in our biblical story, the river Nile becomes the important place for Moses to float as a child in a basket and to be hidden from the dangerous Pharaoh until he is rescued and eventually becomes the leader of the people Israel. And in the New Testament, the River Jordan provided John the Baptist with a place to baptize those who came to him and repented of their sins. Even Jesus needed to be baptized here in this river. Hence, our need to symbolize our baptismal vows with water every time someone commits their way to follow this Jesus, the Son of God. Those of you who were present during baptism this spring here at the front will remember how Vic symbolically poured some water that he had gotten from the Jordan River into the water we used for baptism. Nothing magical, just a connection in our minds, linking the river that Jesus was baptized in to the baptism here. Jesus continued this symbolism when he had that important conversation with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. There is so much that can be gotten out of this encounter. First, Jesus is carrying on a conversation with a woman. This just did not happen back then. And a Samaritan woman. Jews never met or talked with Samaritans. They were considered too sinful. And she, having been married 5 times and now living with number 6, why else would she come to fetch water at noon? That's because no one came to the well at noon, and she could avoid the shame of meeting someone. But overshadowing everything else, Jesus tells her about the living water. He is the Messiah she is waiting for, and he is the living water she so desperately desires. It is the water of life for each one of us who believe and worship this Son of the living God. Our worship can be enhanced by remembering the cleaning effect of water in our lives. The prophet Amos in chapter 5, 24 goes even further as he writes, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And then comes that beautiful picture at the end of our Bible in the Revelation of John as he describes his vision of the New Jerusalem and the river of life flowing through it. This inspired Robert Lowry, a devout pastor and writer of many hymns, to create the song, "Shall We Gather at the River," in 1864. Here is what he said, and I quote, "One afternoon in July of 1864, when I was a pastor at Hanson Place Baptist Church, Brooklyn, the weather was oppressively hot, sort of like days this past week. And I was lying on a lounge in a state of physical exhaustion. My imagination began to take itself wings. Visions of the future passed before me with startling vividness. The imagery of the apocalypse took form of a tableau. Brightest of all were the throne, the heavenly river, and the gathering of the saints. And I began to wonder why the hymn writers had said so much about the river of death and so little about the pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And as I mused, the words began to construct themselves. They came first as a question of Christian inquiry. Shall we gather? And then they broke in chorus, yes, we'll gather. On this question and answer, the hymn developed itself, and the music came with a hymn." End of quote. As we listen to the first section of the Mennonite Concerto, you may wish to have number 615 in your blue hymnal handy. See if you can recognize when parts of this song appear. And after they're finished, we will sing together that particular song, "Shall We Gather at the River." Thank you. One of the key songs in the Mennonite Concerto is the familiar "In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting," and we hear it predominantly in the second movement. Mary Dagworthy James wrote many hymns, about 50 in total, but this one has become a favorite among many of our people, especially since it became part of the Mennonite Concerto. Mary was born in 1810. She was an important person in the Wesleyan holiness movement led by Phoebe Palmer. She loved camp meeting evangelism, like meeting in the, quote, Forest Temple. Her ministry started when she was 13, teaching Sunday school. Committed to her class, she did not limit her involvement to Sunday, but would visit her children in their homes and bring them gifts her mother had made. Her great love for these children kept her involved in Sunday schools all her life. She led the children's meetings at the Ocean Grove, New Jersey camp meetings. And she was an avid letter writer, in particular to young ministers. She felt the call to encourage those just beginning their ministry. It wasn't until 1875, at age 65, that she created the words for this song, and a W. Warren Bentley is credited with the melody. As our Exodus text tells us, Moses is in deep conversation with God. It's no easy task to lead God's people, and Moses needs the reassurance that God will be with him. God agrees to pass by, but Moses is placed in a cleft in a rock so that he will not die by seeing God. And God's hand will cover Moses in this special place of rest. Only after God has passed by does Moses sense the back of him. Here in this cleft, he is safe and secure from every possible problem. Here in the cleft of the rock, he is as close to God as he can ever be. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 7, here is a peace that passes all understanding. Among the many people involved in the making of the docudrama, And When They Shall Ask, like producer David Duick and script and research people John Toews and Barbara Anderson, and writer-director John Morrow and music director Victor Davies, a theme that comes out is the battle for survival. The drive of the Russian Mennonites to leave the horrible trials of their former home and make it to a new land of freedom often needed some assurance, some cleft in a rock somewhere, some place of rest and peace. And God was the only one who could provide this. God was needed to come close and cover them on this treacherous journey. They would sing, "Jesus was their rock of ages, cleft for me." And their faith would carry them through to the new land. The German version of this song, "Wehrlos und verlassen," captures this even more. A suggested translation is useful to catch the meaning. "Wehrlos und verlassen sehnt sich oft mein Herz nach stiller Ruhe." When I'm lonely and defenseless, my heart longs for rest and peace. Doch du deckest mit dem Fittich deiner Liebe sanft mich zu. Then you spread your wings of caring, with your love you cover me. Unter deinem sanften Fittich find ich Frieden, Trost und Ruhe. Under your gentle wing I find peace, solace and rest. Denn du schirmest mich so freundlich, schützest mich und deckst mich zu. For you shield me so kindly, protect me and console me. Jesus has offered us the ultimate place of rest when he says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Yes, he is our rock and our salvation. After we listen to the second movement of the Mennonite Concerto played by Natalie, Linda, and Helen, we will sing the song. It is in your hymnal, number 526. Some of you may want to sing the German words even as we're singing the English. So I will have put up verse 1 in German, and we'll sing 4 verses in English. I'll remind you of that after part 2. The third song of our series this morning is very familiar to you, both in German and in English. The words were written in the German language. First, Julie Katharina von Hausmann was born March 1826 in Riga, Latvia, and died in August of 1901 in Vosu, Estonia. She was a Baltic German poet known for the hymn So Nimm denn meine Hände, with a melody by Friedrich Zilcher. The English translation is credited to Hermann Bruckner, which we sing as Take Thou My Hand, O Father. Julie Hausmann was the daughter of a teacher. She worked for a while as a governess, but due to her ill health, she lived with and cared for her father, who had gone blind. After his death in 1864, she lived with her sisters in Germany, southern France, and St. Petersburg, Russia, and she died during a summer vacation in Estonia. A legend circulates that Hausmann wrote her most famous poem, So Nimm denn meine Hände, after journeying to see her fiancé at a mission, and on arriving, finding that he had just died. Various explorations of her biography have yet to confirm or deny this rumor. She never married. Her poetry was published by others, including Gustav Gnack, without mentioning her name at her request. Hands. Meine Hände. My hands. Our hands. The songwriter asks God to take our hands and lead us. A beautiful picture is the hand of a child holding on to the hand of a parent, a picture of complete trust and assurance that where the parent goes will be exactly where the child needs to go. The symbolic picture of God wanting to take our hand and lead us is a powerful and reassuring one. The familiar picture of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel ceiling in Rome depicting the creation of Adam has God's hand reaching for Adam's. Does this indicate God's desire to protect and lead, even though mankind is often not willing to respond? The answer lies totally in the mind of the observer, that being you and I. David in our scripture passage is definitely wanting to take God's hand to lead him. Where does he want to be led? Let's reread the passage from Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Lead to the rock, that same rock we just referred to in our last segment. God is our rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Over and over in our history, our people have sung this song, Take Thou My Hand, O Father, with the assurance that in His hand we will be safe. The second scripture passage from Revelation ties in beautifully with this song, especially the last verse that was read. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We have gone full circle, back to the river of the water of life. River, rock, hands, all tied together in beautiful words and music. May God bless us as we worship Him in this way. Listen now as we hear the last movement of the Mennonite Concerto and see if you can pick up the song, which is one of a number in this segment. Your hymnal finds the song as number 581. And after the musicians are finished, we will sing together verse 1 in German and verses 1 and 3 in English. Thank you.
If you have questions or comments about the previous recording, please send us an email to lumc@live.com. If you would like more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca.